I guess my other call would be to stop sharing that video. Yeah. Because every time you share that video, people are being re-traumatized. And yeah. that is happening intentionally. So, you know, we don't need to share the visual images of all of these horrendous acts that are happening to understand it, to know that they're happening. And when we yeah. do that, we are traumatizing our global population. And mm-hmm. traumatized people are easier to manipulate and control.
This is Leah Steele. Welcome to the Wealth Witch podcast. Just a few years ago, I experienced complete financial collapse. We lost a business, our home, and a car. My husband was selling plasma to pay for diapers and formula. I was living a life I hated, and I was miserable. It was the lowest part of my life. It ended up being my biggest blessing. Just a few short years later, I've designed the life of my dreams. I live a life of luxury in beautiful Bali, Indonesia, travel the world, and spend my days helping others manifest wealth and abundance. Living a purpose-led life changed everything for me. This podcast is about my journey, my top tips and tools for manifestation, and interviews with all the amazing, world-changing, inspiring people I meet along the way. Welcome to my world.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Witch Podcast, a special edition, actually, of the Wealth Witch Podcast. I am really excited and honored to be joined today by my dear, dear friend and galactic soul twin, Michelle Patrick. Michelle is a multiracial woman who is a practitioner of Chinese medicine, naturopathy, and alchemy, currently living in the UK. And indeed. Michelle and I decided to come together for this episode of the Wealth Witch podcast because we have been having lots of offline discussions in the last couple of weeks about sort of the state of the global union when it comes to all the sort of civil unrest that's happening. And we've just been, you know, privately kind of offline weighing in on all the discussions around race, how it's affecting the world. And so we decided to come and lay it all out on the table for a special edition episode of the Wealth Witch podcast. So here we are. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, I am here. It is 4 a.m. So you know it's love and I'm ready to talk all the things.
Amazing. So I don't even know where to begin. We've literally been talking about this daily and yeah, there's so many topics I think that we want to cover. So I think we should just get the multiracial, biracial situation out of the way first.
Yes, please. Can we? I'd appreciate that. It's a good foundation.
So for my listeners that may not know, I am a multiracial woman. I have a mother that I like to joke and say is the whitest woman in America. She has German and Scandinavian and primarily German and Welsh ancestry. And then my father is German, Black, and Native American. So my father, based upon my ancestry DNA results, my father is about 52% Black. So I'm about 26% Black. And
she knows her numbers
all the time, obviously. But but my family is also Native American. So, but essentially, I have a white family and I have a Black family. And Michelle is very similar. So I will let you tell your genetic makeup now, which I think it's hilarious that we even have to do this on this podcast, but it seems like it's wrong.
I know. It's like protection these days, though. Damn it. Okay, so I also have a very white mother. I don't know how white she is compared to all the white women in the UK, but she's pretty white. And my father is a black American Trinidadian. And I grew up all over the place. I grew up in the States. I grew up in as a military brat because he was in the American Air Force. So I have dual nationality, but a lot of times split between the two different cultures and two different races, because just the same as you, you know, I have a very, very white family and also a very, very black family. So it's the best of both worlds, people, the best.
That's funny because I remember when I was growing up, that's very much like what my mom would always say to me, like, oh, you have the best of both worlds. And it's like, little did she know that I would be not white enough for the white people and not black enough for the black people.
Not black enough for the black people. Exactly. And the struggle is real, people. The struggle is very, very real. I know that we speak about it, we joke about it, but that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And I want to just say that, like, even in appearance, you and I look, I mean, to both have one white parent and one black parent. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, my dad has the other sort of genetics there as well, but we look remarkably different.
Yeah, totally.
And so to me, it's surprising to me that, like, you do get as much of the kind of flack and pushback around the mixed race stuff as you do. But it's totally a reality.
It is a reality. I mean, you know, I'd classify myself as, yes, definitely on the darker side of the mixed race tandem, if that's the games we're playing these days, which it obviously is. But I'm just not dark enough, sis. I'm just not dark enough. I remember I remember being in American school and, you know, being dragged through the mud for being quote-unquote light. And even nowadays, especially as we're embroiled in this heated moment in society, well, it's this moment's always been there, but, you know, the moment that's been unveiled for all to see, I feel like there's still a lot of slack around being able to voice that, being biracial or give an opinion or feel or voice my feelings on how I'm feeling. This global pandemic of fuckery that we're experiencing at the moment. I mean, I've seen Instagram posts, you know, saying Team Darky, and yes, you know, this is the pure blood and all of this craziness, like, that I've wanted to comment on, but for fear of being internet lynched. You know?
Well, apparently we're calling on the lynching during this episode, because we just were like, you know what? And I think, you know, both of us have been sharing in our own ways on social media about what's been happening in the world. And mm-hmm. I feel like, because I do have a predominantly white audience, I have sort of been thrust into the center of this thing, because I have a lot of that community looking to me for how they should be responding, what they should be saying, being afraid of speaking out, being afraid of being an ally. And so I found myself this last week in particular in a situation that I didn't really ever think I was going to be in, where, you know, I'm getting to very publicly navigate these waters. And so a lot of the conversations that I would have behind closed doors are happening now in the public eye. And, you know, I think you and I came to a point over the last week where we were just like, fuck it, let's just go talk about all the things. And
yeah,
fully thinking and knowing that we are going to receive huge amounts of criticism from both sides.
Absolutely.
Of the fence.
But it's, I think that in our global community, where freedom of speech is being more and more and more impinged, you know, that it's important that we get to, that everybody gets to be vocal about, you know, the injustices that are permeating every, you know, piece of fabric of our existence at the moment. I mean, what pandemic? Shit.
Yeah. The other pandemic had nothing on this one.
Exactly.
Corona what? Corona what?
Corona who? Corona who? Crazy, right? This is another thing we joked about. We were like, oh, look, social distancing's gone out the window, people.
Yeah, so you have two multiracial women on this podcast, you know, and we're just going to talk about how we feel. We're going to talk about how we feel about what's happening. And I think about what we're seeing on both sides of the color line. And I think that people that are out there that want to be like, oh, but there's no color line. There's a color line. And inside the color lines, there's lines.
There is. And do you know what? I'm really sorry. It's only people that are like, oh, there is only one race, and that's the human race, that are still caught up in their fragility and ignorance about the state of the world. Let's just keep it real.
Amen. I was talking about a live stream this week. You know, Michelle and I are like all about the darkness. We're like, we're going to be doing a podcast together where we talk more about five element theory and some of the stuff. But we're both metal constitutions. We really embrace the shadow. Like, we live for the destruction and for the death of things. And I got the shits earlier in the week because somebody was commenting on one of my posts and she was like, oh, so you're just in denial? Love and light. Like, and she sent me love and light and, you know, like sent me over the edge. I was just like, your love and light is not welcome here.
Love and light is just like in the toolbox for me of like spiritual bypassing. I feel like people that are like chronic spiritual bypasses just keep that in their back pocket to like throw down when words deceive them.
So I like totally was upset about this, right? And then I was in the shower and started getting this download that I needed to go live and talk about some of the stuff that's happening in the world. And literally, like, my ancestors were like, you know, without the love and light people, we wouldn't actually be in this place right now where we would be evolved enough consciously and spiritually to have so many white people stepping up as allies at this time. And so that's, it was sort true. Of this just like, yes, we know that you don't like love and light, but you should probably get down off your soapbox and like embrace all the people, because not that it's right and spiritual bypassing isn't right, but at some level it has absolutely contributed to the evolution of our consciousness to the point that we do have this, a tremendous amount of the white spiritual community waking up and saying, hey, I want to help. I want to create change. I want it to be different. And if it wasn't for all those love and lighters, those people wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that is so, that is very true. That is very true, Leah.
So, where do we want to go next? I think, fuck it. Let's just go into the blackout. Let's talk about the blackout.
Okay. So I was really, I kind of woke up to WhatsApp messages of black squares being sent to me and then saying, oh, this is for your use on your blackout Tuesday thing. And I was really kind of disconnected because, you know, we're both in the middle of writing a book right now. While we're embroiled in this race that's, you know, going on. And I was just totally confused. I was like, okay, I'm just going to ignore this. And then I go on my Instagram and I'm just black screens. And not only black screens, I am receiving inboxes from people, you know, saying to me, oh, Michelle, I really hope you're going to contribute today to this blackout. And you should really use your platform to support the community. Like, I'm not supporting my community. Like, I haven't voiced my disgust and, you know, at the current state of Black America, or America in general. And then I just really didn't get it. I didn't get it. And I also didn't get the idea of why I wanted to black out the issues. I feel like that was some kind of algorithm master plan to silence the people. You know, I don't think that we should be blacking out what's going on in our communities. I think it should be being seen. And also, I know that people were using hashtags that were essentially disabling people that were protesting and that are doing active activism. It was disallowing their posts to be seen. And also, wasn't it started by the music industry, who we all know does not give a fuck? You know, let's just keep it real.
And in fact, it's so funny because last night I was scrolling. And so I don't follow a lot of entertainers or artists or people that are in the public eye like that. But I do follow, you know, Michelle and I both love 50 Cent. So I follow Biggie. But I also follow Diddy. Yes. And because they often have opposing viewpoints, and I just think it's fascinating to like sort of see, you know, I like to keep my pulse on kind of what's happening in Black culture and within the music industry. And I loved what Diddy said, or Puffy, or whatever you want to call him, said last night that I read, which was, you know, it was something along the lines of, yeah, you know, it's great if you want to get on and support this, but don't do it just for one day.
This is the issues.
Yeah. So that was my, that was kind of my point. And one of the things that I said yesterday in a live stream was that, you know, I didn't black out. I won't be blacking out. I won't ever black out because it doesn't, ultimately it doesn't impact anything. Ultimately it doesn't create change. No change was created by people putting black squares on their profile pictures or in their Instagram feeds. What would have created a tremendous amount of change was to call people to find a social justice advocate or somebody that was speaking on matters of race that could spread education. Why wouldn't you be sharing something that would be educating people or something that could actually create a ripple? You share something, three people see it, they learn something from it, they share it, those people see it, and then ultimately a global impact is created, a global ripple is created.
Yeah, a ripple.
What the fuck does a black square do?
I know, this is, and I was really quite offended. I actually got some serious slack. I was telling you, like I was getting angry messages from people in my own black community as to why I was not blacking out. Like as to why I was not blacking out. And just mirroring what you've just said, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, black people have been blacked out for over 400 years, you know?
Yep.
We have been silenced, injustices have been silenced. The only reason that it is coming to the forefront of our economy's attention is because now we have smartphones. Now there's no way to escape the injustice. It's being shoved down, you know, the throats of people that really weren't rooted in the deep injustices of black America or black anything. So to create one day, to create silence, essentially silence around that, I totally feel you. It could have been used for a better platform. And I'm not shaming anybody that chose to black out. I'm just saying from my personal perspective, for those who chose to try and make it a thing that I didn't use a black square, that I totally get it, Leah. It's like we could have used that platform to, you know, show things that would make a ripple, make a change, rather than just sit in silence about it, which is what we've always done.
Yeah, and I think like to Diddy's point and also to what you were just saying, it's like, and you continue to use your platform to do that. And doing it one day versus making a commitment to show up day after day after day and, you know, really stand up for your principles and share the things that you believe to be true is different. And I do just want to say on this podcast, we are having like massive technical difficulties today. So the audio quality is not going to be perfect on this. And I want to just acknowledge that and say thanks to the listeners for hanging in there because I know it's getting a little bit choppy at times.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you. And Bali internet is not is not fully cooperating today. No. And I think there's a lot of resistance to the messages that we're trying to put through. Like there we had a lot of difficulty even getting on the podcast today. Nobody wants the message. They can't handle the truth. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think that like, if it really resonated with you to share the black square and you knew why you were doing it. I mean, I think the other issue that I really took with the entire movement was it wasn't just one movement. It seemed to be three or four that all got combined together. And so I don't think anybody really had a full understanding of why they were doing what they were doing. You know, I saw white people doing it. I saw black people doing it. And so I feel like, you know, this is the place where we have to really understand why you're doing the things that you're doing. It's part of the issue that we have inside all of this race stuff anyways, is a lack of understanding and a, you know, especially in America, people just barreling forward like a bull in a china shop from a place of ignorance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's totally the vibe. And we're just going to keep it real, right? Like, I think that it's great that a lot of people from other races are, you know, coming forward and they want to show their support. And it has been a global moment in change and a vital global moment in change. But because of the media stimulation and the sheer mass of revolt, I wonder if that is from a place of authenticity or fear. You know, I'm really getting a message and a feeling from a lot of, you know, my circles that there's almost an anxiety to need to voice an opinion for fear of being shamed and, you know, silenced. And I just wonder if it's the right approach and how much of those, you know, those things are going to be rooted enough to move forward, you know, and not just in a week, in 5 weeks, in 5 years, you know, just like the Black Square, we're going to forget about it next week. Now we voiced our opinions and saved ourselves from mass, you know, mass shame and embarrassment, or are we going to actually do something to make a change? Because that's what matters, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that it's a big issue right now. And in fact, like, I've really been struggling with my Black friends that have been posting the, hey, white friends, your silence is deafening. Because what we don't want to have happen is people showing up in an inauthentic way. And again, it's the ignorance piece. It's like people go out and read one article and then all of a sudden they're like sharing a position out in the world that they haven't researched, that they don't fully understand. And it creates more issues. And so I feel like the call to me, to like the white people in my community, or, you know, white friends of mine, has really been like, take a beat.
Yeah.
Do some research.
Yeah.
Find out what resonates with you and respond from a really authentic place that is in integrity for you. And don't allow yourself to be bullied or pressured, certainly not by other white people, but even by Black people. To show up and use your voice when you're not prepared or ready to, because it's not going to help.
Yeah. And there needs to be an education piece, you know, and it's education is something that we all shy away from because we live in a society that's really fast. You know, we get our information really, really quickly now. So a lot of people don't take time to educate themselves on global or economic issues. We just kind of get the surface level, you know, information that we can receive very quickly. So there is a lot of fast information moving through this very detrimental time for the world, but the information that is going to root in change is not fast information, it's education.
And I think, I mean, I definitely want to speak to this too, because I also understand that Black people are tired of educating white people on race issues and on systemic racism and
absolutely
on institutional racism. And so
definitely,
I'm not,
it's
saying
not,
that
it's not their duty and it's not our duty.
White people.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I definitely don't want it to come across like I'm saying that. What I am saying is, if you want to be an ally or you want to be an advocate and you're a light-skinned privileged person like me, or you're a white person, and you want to understand your privilege, to, you know, take it upon yourself to begin to educate yourself. And I definitely think the very best thing that people can do right now is when you find something that resonates with you, that helps you, that gets you to expand your consciousness, expand your awareness of the issues. Like when you read that thing, or when that thing is shared with you, share it from a place of, hey, and this really helped me in this way. So tell people why it helped you, and then share the work of that person. Like, that's a way that we can really, one, support the Black community. We can really support the amazing men and women that are out there who are, you know, dedicating their entire lives to social justice, education, and activism. You know, it's part of my resistance in even like getting in this discussion is I know there's so many people out there that have dedicated their life to this that are doing an amazing job of it. But there's also this piece of like it needing a bridge, like needing a bridge.
Definitely.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Apparently I'm the fucking bridge.
You're always the fucking bridge.
It's my 5-1. I'm here to universalize the message for the masses. So I'm trying to universalize the message for you, masses.
Just do the thing, damn it. Do the thing. And also, can we just, I think we need to touch on the protesting. Can we just talk about the protesting and the way that that's being perceived in the media and the agent provocateurs, by the way?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about those things?
Absolutely.
So I know that, you know, I mean, and we all know what the media does. It's like a fucking sitcom, you know? It's like a sitcom in all areas of what we're receiving today on the news. It's, I mean, picking apart what is actually reality and what is, you know, should be an award-winning show on Netflix is really hard these days. You know, it's
or
really
sometimes
hard.
Not an award-winning show. Sometimes yeah, like the worst show.
The worst.
Like the worst C network show.
It's the worst. Now, as far as these protests are going, you know, and the showing of civilians starting fires and throwing bricks through windows, I mean, I don't actually even believe that a lot of the foundational damage was caused by people actually protesting. I believe that they were caused by people who were placed there to do the damage. You know, I mean, people are showing up to protest and there's piles of bricks laying around, random piles of
everywhere.
Bricks.
Everywhere. At like all of the protests.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How did those get there?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It's insane.
And loads of people are now coming forward, you know, discussing the fact that they've been paid, you know, to be actors in a scene for media use. It's just crazy. And at the end of the day, I think as well, as far as the media is concerned, they give us what they want to give us.
Absolutely. And that's, we've been talking about that too. It's like, allow yourself to question, why are you being allowed to see that George Floyd video?
Yes.
Because you're absolutely being allowed to see it.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that the media could have taken that down, censored it, gotten rid of it, you're sadly mistaken. Like, we are being allowed to see that video. And I guess my other call would be to stop sharing that video. Because every time you share that video, people are being re-traumatized. And that is happening intentionally. So, you know, we don't need to share the visual images of all of these horrendous acts that are happening to understand it, to know that they're happening. And when we do that, we are traumatizing our global population. And traumatized people are easier to manipulate and control. Traumatized and emotional people are easier to manipulate and control. That is why you're being allowed to see that video. So I really, really, like, this is a call to any one of my listeners, please stop sharing that video. Please stop sharing the other videos. You've got the 77-year-old retired police captain, black man, that was shot, that video is now circulating. You know, these, especially within our black communities, it's, you can't help but be traumatized by seeing things like that. And so I think it's really important that we stop perpetuating that trauma.
Yeah, totally. And this is trauma that has, like we were speaking about, that has moved through the community. I mean, since the beginnings of slavery, you know, and as far as that aspect of being fed what, you know, what is what they want us to see, that is a huge piece. And it's a huge piece in understanding our commitment and our responsibility to the collective consciousness. And I have been very, very shocked, to be honest, at our conscious community's inability to see through the fuckery of that.
Yeah,
you know, we were having a conversation about just, I mean, we get to a certain point in our evolutionary process and we're all at different places where you have a certain understanding of the information that you're being received and how to transmute it into a more positive frequency for the world. And I really think that the media has just bent everyone over on this one, and that people have forgotten the viability of their own transmission.
Yeah, that's an amazing way to say it and put it.
Yeah, it's been blinding. It has been just blinding. I cannot even bear to watch it anymore, because every time I put on the fucking news and I see, I mean, oh my God, did you see that video I just showed you that NBC was flipping, showing scenes from World War Z, the movie,
and perpetuating it as the Philadelphia riots.
Yeah. So and then people are saying like, oh, that's a fake. That was fake. Somebody made that up. And it's like, but here's the thing. Yes, maybe that one was. Maybe it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So much of, I mean, you see these, you can see this all over the internet where news media manipulates images or takes images from previous riots and then they show them again. And the media is literally a television show. Like, you have to look at it like it's a television show. You can't look at it like it is not objective. It is not bipartisan. It is not like, it is completely biased and completely objective. And if you look at it as if you're watching something that is biased and non-objective, biased and subjective, then by all means, watch it. But please do not go to the media, to the news media, expecting to get the truth, because it's just, it doesn't exist.
Does not exist. It's wild, sis. I can't even believe like the levels.
People would be like, didn't you see the news? And I'm like, no, why would I watch that?
I definitely did not see the news.
No, I'm like, crazy. When I want to watch fantasy television, there's plenty on Netflix for me to watch.
There is plenty because it is fantasy. And even, oh my God, even the messaging is just created like through the media platforms to incite, you know, more unnecessary emotion. And emotion is needed. Emotion is definitely needed at this time of change. But the emotion that it's inciting is just insanity. Like the way they're showing the looting, you know, it's like looting, looters protesting who are looting America. America is the biggest looter on the planet. Why aren't they talking about that? Right. You want to see looting, just go to the damn museums, people. Ask the Native Americans, because, you know, as far as the way I remember it, is that the whole fucking continent was looted. So to be in a position where you are sitting, you know, watching this kind of information overload and manipulation, just turn off the news, people. Turn off the news, please. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, obviously you're writing this amazing book and, you know, especially in the work you do, which is about essentially changing the wealth paradigm. You know, this is actually vital, what's going on in the understanding the economics and the change in our financial systems, because our financial systems and our economies are rooted in slavery. And we just need to call it what it is. You know, it's almost like people don't like to say that word, slavery.
Yeah. No, for sure. And we definitely don't like to say that, you know, all of the wealth that any of us enjoy came from on the backs of bodies. Like,
yes, it did.
And the global economy was built on the slave trade.
Yes, it was. It was indeed. Of course it was. So this is where the education.
And I think so many people think like, oh, just America. It was just America. No, oh bitches.
It was the whole world.
And, you know, I think that, yes, the African slave trade became very, very lucrative. And it became very lucrative in the United States. Oh, let's just talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about how, you know, I think people like want to like be like, oh, but then, you know, slavery, we stopped importing slaves from Africa and things changed. And it's like, well, no, we had about 800,000 slaves in the United States at the time that the slave trade, the importing slave trade stopped. But by the end of slavery, we had 4 million slaves.
Exactly.
Because we were breeding our own.
Exactly. Just speak the truth. And this is the education piece, right? This is the important education, because if you don't know where you've come from, you have no idea where you're going. So it's really important than to rather just be grabbing for information from the ether, that you take it back to the root. You know, fast information is not going to create paradigm change in something that has taken 400 plus years to manifest. Do you know what I mean? We have to go back to the root. We can't just be picking from the tree and eating the fruit of change. It doesn't always work like that. You have to uproot that whole damn tree.
We have to get rid of rot, right?
Exactly. Like,
or the tree's just gonna fucking die. Like, it doesn't matter what we do. All this surface level shit that we're doing right now, it doesn't matter until we get to the, like, we go and we handle the systemic rot. So, and we can't do that without education and awareness and acknowledgement, I think, too, is a big piece, the acknowledgement, right? But we don't want to look at that because it's horrific and we would so much rather pretend like it didn't happen.
Yep, of course, just like everything else. And that's the mastery in it. And, you know, we're both huge on self-mastery and like internal alchemy and stuff like that. And when you look at things in that level, that's the only level that you can create a change, or not even change, but just go back to the foundations of things and build your own fucking house. Like, you know, we've got to do that. And I think this piece that we're talking about right now is so important to the whole issue that's being received right now globally as far as race is concerned. You know, a black square is not going to make a change. If you want to educate yourself, go back to the roots of the issue. Go back to the roots. Call out the other people's names, because it wasn't just George Floyd. There are countless hundreds, thousands of people who have suffered, you know, at the hand of systemic racism. So, you know, but these are the things that we don't want to look at. We don't want to, because it's too ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly as shit, but you've got to get dirty, baby. Otherwise, you know,
there's so much right now in the world where it's like all these paradigms are dying.
Yeah.
Like every day a new paradigm crumbles and dies, right? And we're in the middle of this, and it's like we have this really beautiful opportunity right now to, because of everything else, because of the perfect storm that's happening in the world right now, we actually do have an amazing opportunity to be like, no, you know what, this time it's going to be different. This time we're going to go and rip out this systemic rot. We are going to educate ourselves. We are going to open our eyes to what's happening. We do have that opportunity right now. And there has never been another time like this. But we have to open our eyes.
Yep.
Stop watching Fantasy Island.
Stop watching
on TV.
Fantasy Island and the Agent Provocateurs. It's wild out there, people. Use this time, you know, use this time to do the dirty work. Do the dirty work with yourself as well, you know, because that's where change has come, you know. And, you know, when we were talking about like this oversensitized emotion coming from, you know, people because they're feeling put into a box and having to speak on something in the moment, which is, you know, my concern for it is that go back to the root. Ask yourself why these issues prior to George Floyd weren't an issue to you then.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is the part that's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to look at your own privilege. It's uncomfortable to look at how systemic this stuff is. And it's difficult because, you know, I have so many friends that live in the United States that are like, I don't see color though. I'm not racist. And I'm like, right, you don't. You don't see color. And that's part of the problem. And because you don't see color, you also cannot see the systemic nature of the racism that exists. Like, people will be like, no, slaves were free. Like, black people are equal. We had a black president. Look at Oprah. You know? And it's like,
God, Oprah. Yeah, let's look at
that
Oprah.
Black president and Oprah, probably the worst things that ever happened to the black race, because they give excuse of, but look, there must not be systemic racism in the United States if Obama can be president. But look, there must not be, the black man must not be being held down. Look at Oprah. Fantasy Island, people. Stop, you know, watching Fantasy Island.
Stop it. Save yourselves, you know, and please, in saving yourselves, save the collective consciousness, because that it's I feel like the whole grid is being crumbled right now.
We have a responsibility to each other, to the other beings of this planet, you know, right now, to wake up and stop being sheep and reclaim like our own destinies, but also like we have an opportunity to build a world that we all want to live in right now. And you know, the whole entire world has gone crazy and is out of control. Like, how easy would it be right now, the people to just raise up and create what they wanted to create?
Yeah.
Oh, there's never been a time like right now. Where's Study Bookman when you need him?
You're right, though. There has never been a change. It really feels like that. Like, we're on the brink of, like, something huge. You predicted this shit last year as well. It's crazy.
So, oh, I know this other thing that I wanted to talk about. Maybe we can end on this because we've been going for quite a while. But so I was like, where the fuck are the Malcolm X's and Martin Luther Kings of our generation? Right. So you said that, and I was like, oh my God, they are in jail.
Oh my God, the prison system. Do we need to do another whole podcast on that? I feel like this is paramount in silencing, you know, a whole race. You know, the prison system is slavery. It is. It is slavery in real time, you know, and that's probably where they all are. Because I think it was totally planned that way. Because you know how everything is manipulated and controlled.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it's like, because I do look, I'm like, where are our Black leaders? Where are the leaders that are going to help us rise up against these injustices? And it's true. They were all, like, they are the victims of systemic racism. They are boys that were shuttled through a system to land them in incarceration.
Facts. That's what it is. Another thing that people turn a blind eye to. I mean, imagine, can I just say, imagine what it would do to the global fragility if now people actually started to educate themselves on that shit.
Well, that's the thing. And that is the biggest piece, I think, that people do not want to look at. They do not want to believe that that is happening in the world.
Yes, they don't. They don't. Oh my God, I know we're coming to the end of it, but now all these things are coming up for me. It's just really interesting, isn't it? It's really interesting. And I think we made some really good points. You made some really good points about the systemic rot and the ownership of contributing to that rot, essentially with ignorance, you know, and things can't just be magicked away with sage, you know, in 2 seconds, because now you've chosen to see, you know, shine some love and light on the shadows of your ignorance. You know, take it back to the root, people. You might need some Palo Santo for that. I don't think sage is going to do it.
I think that might need to be the title of this episode. Shine some love and light on the shadows of your ignorance.
Yes!
Well, we might have to do a series on this. We might have to come back in a few weeks and talk about what's happening then and talk more about, like, some of this more systemic stuff that exists, like the Definitely. Institutional racism Absolutely. And the systemic racism, because I think it's important that people understand that. But yeah, I think we made some really good points today. Hopefully we shined a light. What's the word? Some love and light on the shadows of ignorance.
Love and light
today.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, thanks for being here. I think I feel better. I'm sure you feel better now that we've said some of the things. Now we'll just wait for the hate mail to arrive.
Yeah, I know. And this is PG. This is PG, people. This was PG. Like, I'm telling you, you do not want in on our Telegram chats.
But speaking of our Telegram chat, we do have a joint Telegram chat called The Hive Mind.
Yes.
Where we've actually been sharing more information on things that are, you know, kind of in the self-mastery world. So we could definitely start sharing some more on these issues as well there.
Yeah,
you can find this. It's just the Hive Mind channel, on the Telegram app. So if you want to come over there and subscribe to our channel, we'd love to have you over there. And I'll also put a link for it in the description of the podcast, as well as links to Michelle's social media channels. So you can go and follow her if you aren't already. And yeah, thanks for the time. So it was a pleasure to have
you on.
I'm sure you will be back. I cannot wait until we launch our podcast.
Oh my God, hurry up.
And I think that's it. So we'll catch you on the next episode. Farewell.
Bye.
That's a wrap. Thank you for joining me. Remember, wealth is a mindset, and you absolutely deserve to live the life you deeply desire. and with belief and intention, you create your reality. Until next time, this is Leah Steele, the Wealth Witch.